John Friend. All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Sunday, January 27th, 2019, and this is the first live edition of The Realist Report here on Eurofolk Radio. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly history magazine affiliated with American Free Press. I encourage listeners to subscribe to these fine print publications. Check out AmericanFreePress.net. and barnesreview.org for all of the details. Okay, with that said, let me introduce our special guest this afternoon. Pastor Eli James of Eurofolk Radio is joining us once again to help us get started here on the network. Eli, welcome back to the program, my friend. How are you?
Yeah. Hi, John. Yeah, it's been a while since we've had...
Yes, and this is the first live edition of The Realist Report, which is going to be broadcast right here on Eurofolk Radio. The website's eurofolkradio.com. And you actually approached me about joining the network and hosting a regular weekly live program. So going forward on, I can't say every Sunday because I already have one scheduling conflict, but pretty much every Sunday I'm going to be doing a live program that's going to be starting at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And this is, of course, the very first program. So, yeah, I had been, sort of kind of doing a podcast every once in a while. I wasn't doing a regular thing like I used to. So I'm glad that you made this offer to me to kind of join the network. And I've always appreciated Eurofolk Radio. You guys have been around for a while, and I kind of wanted to start out just by you giving us a little bit of background of what Eurofolk Radio is all about. But I've been following it for a number of years. I've been a guest on your program and a few other programs on the network. And I've always appreciated it because it's a pro-white, pro-Christian network, obviously. And you guys are open to all sorts of different ideas and perspectives. So, I've really always appreciated the network, and it's really an honor to join with you guys. So just to get started, could you kind of give everybody just a background of the network, how it got started? If you want to promote the website a little bit more or anything like that, just give us some basic details about the network.
Sure. Yeah, it's well around for about 4 years now. And the behind it was to avoid the sense that I had been getting at various venues that I was a 6 month public broadcasting network. Five radio options that virtually every space decided to censor me. As I tell the truth about the Edomite Jews in the world and, nefarious influences in our society. So Doc Waterman and I had tried to do a radio called Your radio, and we never really got about 5 years. That goes back to 6 years. The technology wasn't there for us to self radio network. But I was caught by Paul English. He could put together different programs, relatively by which we could do a network. We just have to get the website going, have to do the audio transmission, which requires several different programs for each host to. Whereas the out there. They have a studio with a manager, you know, a sound control, et cetera. That takes a lot of money, each show host could do their own broadcasting with from their home computer. We've got, and it's being well. We've had a lot of glitches, you know, because this is low tech, folks, as low tech as it gets for broadcast radio. So yes, we are having a big impact because people are listening to us, and memes that we put out. Go out and are being copied, and even who was Brother used the term Israel in one of his broadcasts, which we've been using that term, you know, in talk show and other venues for decades already. Okay, so we know other people are listening to us and picking up our audience. Over to you.
Yes, and you know what? I don't know exactly what's going on, but we do seem to be having a very poor connection for whatever reason. I'm looking at Skype right now, and guys, I hope everybody bears with us for this first program. I'm using some of these programs for the first time, and Paul English has been very, very helpful. He's kind of walked me through everything, and I'm pretty sure I have everything set up correctly, and it sounds like we are coming through live. However, your audio is very distorted on my end. I'm not sure how, you know, the listeners are, you know, what they're hearing, if you're sounding distorted to them as well. But you were very choppy, so I hope this is, you know, goes okay and we're going to be able to do this program. But yeah, you know, I have always appreciated Eurofolk Radio, as I mentioned. And I kind of wanted to just give a little bit of history of my involvement in, you know, in the movement and doing podcasting and hosting radio programs and, you know, of course, blogging. And it would have been back in 2010, I really, really started blogging a lot. I was focusing quite a bit on 9/11 and American foreign policy in the Middle East. And, you know, researching these topics led me down all sorts of paths. I started researching historical revisionism and, you know, taking a second look at World War II. I was listening to a lot of radio programs at the time, including yours. I had heard you on Republic Broadcasting, I think. It was the first time that I heard you anyways. Yeah. And you were actually one of the first guests that I had when I started doing my own podcast. And this would have been back in 2011, I believe. So we've had a good working relationship for a number of years. And if you remember, we've actually organized some pretty, in my view, pretty epic debates about Christianity. I know you at one point debated Charlie Giuliani on my program, and we also had a debate with Joseph Atwell, which was very, very interesting, and you can still find those over at therealistreport.com. So, you know, needless to say, I've been doing podcasting and writing online for a number of years. My current website, therealistreport.com, pretty much has all of my blog posts, all of the articles that I write for American Free Press that are then published on American Free Press's website. I will also post those on my website. I have a number of different sections. And as I said, if you go over to the radio section, you can go back and check out some of the radio programs I've done in the past. But it's a new year, and it's good to get back in a regular, you know, kind of radio program. As I mentioned, I was kind of just doing them very sporadically, and it's largely because I'm just really busy now. I very rarely have time, even on the weekends, to sit down and do podcasts. But I think this Sunday afternoon slot is going to work out perfect. The one thing I did want to mention is kind of like my goals with the website, my goals with my radio program, and really all I've ever really tried to do is think critically about issues and bring clarity on some of these very controversial topics that we address here on the program and, of course, on the website. I focused, again, a lot of attention on 9/11, a lot of attention on historical revisionism, and also a lot of attention on race realism, this war on white people, this white genocide agenda, which is very real. And, you know, it's a topic that we've talked about extensively in the past. Yeah. So that's really kind of what the goal of the website is. And one of the key things that I try to do is really kind of celebrate and promote free speech and promote freedom of thought and freedom of intellectual inquiry on any and all topics. I do strongly believe that as Americans, it is our God-given right to engage in these things and to talk about these subjects if we're interested in them. And we certainly are here on the Realist Report and at Eurofolk Radio. And I like talking about a wide variety of topics. I'm very interested in Christianity, other historical issues. There's no topic that is too taboo for me and the Realist Report. And I think that's very, very important in our current year as we see that, you know, this tyrannical censorship agenda where people are getting shut down on social media, they're being banned on various, you know, online payment platforms. I was banned from PayPal going back to 2014, I think it was. So we've been experiencing these things and dealing with these topics for a very long time. So that's really kind of the goal of what I do with the website, what I do with the radio program. And I think that pretty much aligns very well with what Eurofolk Radio is all about, correct?
Yes. Yeah, freedom of speech is what we're all about, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know, yeah, from headings that times, are you on a headset or phone with a mic?
I am on a headset, a USB headset that I've always used. I've always had. I've never really had a lot of problems with it. But again, a lot of this stuff is new. A lot of these programs that I'm using are new, and I've had to adjust some of the settings in Skype and also in these other programs that are running right now.
Yes.
And I'm looking here and it's still saying poor connection. So maybe it is just the Skype connection. Am I coming through okay, or do I sound really choppy?
I hear you fine, but there's of choppiness, but they're minimal. Okay.
Okay.
It could be just a Skype connection because it's sinking into the ocean.
Right. Yeah. Well, you
got your window and see.
Yeah, well, you definitely, it is actually, to be honest, a little bit difficult to understand everything you're saying. Hopefully that will kind of clear up as we proceed here. But I guess that was really all I wanted to say by way of introduction. I wanted you to kind of talk about Eurofolk Radio. I wanted to kind of talk about my website, what I've been about over the years. Do you guys have any goals for the network in this new year? Or any ideas about the future of the network? Are you bringing anybody else back on? I know that was kind of something we talked about privately. You were looking to expand the network and invite more hosts on and kind of expand your reach.
Yes, yes. 2018 was a difficult because we had, well, I had health problems, Doc Water health problems, and Bush, not personal, but in his family. His mother died, and we've had all of technical issues that we never had before. It just started to emerge in 2018. I had to buy a new computer. It took a while for integrate all the programs, which because they're not, you know, they're not huge programs that take up a lot of room on the computer. A while for me to integrate all the programs on this new computer, and it's been pretty much trouble free the last 3 years. So we're hoping to in 2019 we want to expand the programming to health information, more right political people, with the fact that we do not promote the Jews and people or as the Israelites of the Bible. And so as long as use foul language, and as long as it's basically two caveats, don't promote Judeo-Christianity or Judaism on Eurofolk Radio, and your language, okay? And that's about it. You know, other than that, just about any that comes under this.
Very good. Yes, I can totally abide by those rules. No problem at all. In fact, I agree with both of them. and you know what? That's kind of a topic I wanted to get into because when I first discovered your work, I mentioned I heard you on RBN. I think I heard you on Deanna Spingola's program was the first time I encountered you. And you were saying some things about Christianity and the history of, well, the history of our people, the history of the white race, different interpretations of the Bible, what the Bible really meant, you know, in certain passages, etc. And I found it absolutely fascinating. It was a perspective that I had never encountered before, but it made a lot of sense, and I wanted to learn more. And I started listening to a lot of your radio programs. I have a copy of your book on, well, it's actually the Kindle version of your book. Forgive me, I'm forgetting the name of it. What's the name of your book again?
Yeah, The Great Impersonator.
The Great Impersonator, right, okay. Yeah. So these were topics that were very interesting to me right off the bat. You know, it was a take on Christianity that made a lot of sense. I mean, it connected a lot of dots because I was raised Catholic. I've always considered myself a Christian. And you know, I've always sympathized with the Bible and sort of like basic Christian tenets, right? But it was sort of a superficial understanding of Christianity, I guess. And, you know, when I encountered your work in this Christian identity message, it really resonated with me and really brought the religion alive and the history alive as well. And I found it very, very persuasive, very much backed by legitimate evidence and proof for sure. I think you guys, the Christian identity perspective really does bring a lot of archaeological evidence, historical evidence to the table, and a number of other aspects as well. So it was very interesting, and it's caused a lot of conflict over the years. There seems to be this major debate that just plagues, I guess, the sort of broader pro-white movement, this debate over Christianity. And again, it's something that we've kind of, you know, we've had debates on here about these subjects in the past. So, how important, in your view, is Christianity and in having an authentic understanding of our history, you know, of our people and of this religion? How important is it in the overall, you know, pro-white movement, I guess?
Right. Press the question towards white nationalists, neo-pagans, alt-right. There are two categories of people in that group. One is ones who are open to the message. They tend to be more educated. And there's the people, how maybe ruffians is kind of the best way to put it. The people who've just minds that you know, Jews are evil. But they also, the Bible is a Jewish book, and therefore it's a time for us to investigate it. Now, they also believe, and even some of the more intelligent in the alt-right, under that the Bible is actually the glue that Western civilization, and they will admit that, you know, so, you know, they're also opening the Christian identity version. Who happen to be listening, you know, and one of the complaints they Christianity is that it's populated by women, okay, and the fact that, and that's true, that's a presentation of modern day of Christianity. But I point to them, you look with all of the great Christian kingdoms that kicked ass historically, we beat the Muslims and the Tatars and the Huns and the Mongols, and they had to fend off the pagan Viking. You know, you're having a limited perspective if you only what has happened in the last, okay, standpoint, right, assumption, are false. Okay, now why do I say 100 years ago? Well, around the turn of the last century, that the Jews, Rothschilds, and the Zionists had begun a propaganda campaign. And up until that time, there was no love lost between Christians, hated each other mutually. It was a mutually approved hatred. Because Christians understood that the Christ killers and Christ haters and Christianity haters. This was understood by virtually all Christians, and the Jews, you know, they claim tolerate Christians, but that's a facade. So it's a one-way street now. Jews manipulate Christians, and a term called Judeo-Christianity, which was never used until the middle of. So there be any such thing. So that's all propaganda. Right people need to understand Christianity and the so-called Christian Zionist movement is of intensive, relentless propaganda to condition Christians police state. Okay? That's when this all started. And so don't you cannot ignore the history of Christianity. It's not the same era. By the way, the prophesies that of Christianity, the of Christianity would experience a burn and even an apostasy, turning against doctrines, turning against the Bible, turning against Christianity. And that's the this apostasy is what we're seeing in the last days, that the lukewarm church as Revelation, the apostasy was prophesied. And everything we can see, even this, you know, which is fairly well perceived, has it in the scriptures, which is a good take it seriously, all right? But the main element of Christian identity is a gigantic distinction between Israel and Jewry. And Jewry has never been Israel, and it's only in recent years. Yeah, as I said, with this intensive propaganda campaign by the Zionists, brainwash Christians, churches, fill them up with homosexuals, and now imams, and even witches, and war. I mean, these churches now are dens of vice. They have turned against Christ. In the name of Christ, they preach Christ, and they preach communism and the welfare, which is really no different from the farm. Okay? So unless you understand the history of this last transition from true Christianity, and it was always practiced by white, always, except the one is, you know, the Catholic Church went around converting people with the sword. So the Catholic Church, by its own name, is universal. So Universalist Church murdered people by the sword. There's obviously thing in Christianity, and then we have this universalism that has churches, which is also forbidden in Scripture. We are not to proselytize non-whites. We simply are not, because the modern era of Judeo-Christianity appears to be universal, and it is. Make the false assumption that it has. Oh, it has not. It's only in the last 100 years, and with the missionary work of, you know, the Protestant churches, last 200 years or so, trying to convert Black Africans and Chinamen and all these other Arabs, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Only in the last couple hundred years that Christianity has adopted. And it is totally contrary to the precepts of the Bible.
Yes, indeed. I would have to agree with you. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, a big topic I've always focused on the Realist Report is the Jews. Because when I first was researching 9/11 and kind of getting into blogging and talking about these subjects, it became very, very clear that Jewish criminals were behind 9/11, Jewish criminals in the United States that were occupying key positions in the Bush administration, for example, but also in New York City, like, for example, Larry Silverstein, the man who owned the World Trade Center towers, and the way the World Trade Center complex itself was privatized was basically done by this sort of clique of Jewish criminals that, again, had key ties to the State of Israel. So when I was by researching 9/11, I really, you know, kind of woke up to this idea of the Jewish question or the Jewish problem. And it became very clear to me that Jews, were not only a distinct group of people, but they viewed themselves as a distinct group of people, separate from whites. You know, I think there's a lot of confusion on this, especially, well, I mean, really by anybody, by I would say most people, you know, most people operating in society, there's this confusion. Are Jews white? They're white. They just have a different religion. But I've come to view them, and I think that they view themselves largely as a very distinct, particular group of people. And if you look at the history of Western civilization, it's really this clash between Jews and between whites. And I think over the course of the past century, we've really seen a triumph of the organized Jewish community over Western civilization, essentially. They've essentially taken over our politics, taken over our government, certainly taken over our mass media, and that has been instrumental in helping them, you know, propagandize us, you know, put out these paradigms and these understandings of the world, put out this idea that the Jews are somehow connected to the people of Israel as described in the Bible, which again is the total opposite of what you know, the authentic history of the Bible. So this idea of the Jewish problem in general, the Jewish question in general, is very, very important. How does Christian identity view the Jews? I mean, who are the Jews according to a Christian identity perspective?
Okay. To the bloodlines, and the bloodline doctrine begins in Genesis 3:15, where we in identity teach of Cain, and it's documented in the Holy Scriptures that there's a line that has descended through Cain. It starts in Genesis 4, chapter 1. Cain's descendants are very much noted. Switches back to line of Seth, and he being described as the son of Adam. Cain is not described as the son of Adam. So the entire Bible, until the book of Revelation, traces the conflicts between these two bloodlines. So, you know, when I realized the case, that's what inspired me to write The Great Impersonation, because my book is this clash from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Revelation 22. And then we have documentation, not just from the Bible, that the Jewish people are descended from Edom and was mixed with line from Cain and called and from Canaan. Canaan, a Hamite who merged into the bloodline of the Kenites to descend. And then later on, Esau, who was Jacob's brother, he married of Cain. And the elves in their various writings, their encyclopedia history books, admit that they had blood, and they admit they're not really Israelites' writings. Okay, and we in Christianity have documented these statements by the Jews. In public, it's amazing to me the average Christian and even average alt-right person has no interest in studying this, and the average Christian has no interest in studying history because don't talk about it at all. They have a disdain for history because they prefer dogma over truth, okay? And it goes for the Catholic Church. I mean, the Catholic Church has had a really horrible history of persecuting real Christians, okay? And the alt-right people, they think the Bible is a Jewish book. They believe the lie that the Jews are the Israelites of the Old Testament. And this was a Jew on a stick, and that Christianity is an offshoot of Judaism. All those are blatantly false. And the fact is, the real Israel Testament were Aryans, and the very few of Israelites in the Old Testament, clearly, that they show blood in the face, are generally very picturesque and beautiful people, unlike Jews. No one would ever call the Jews a beautiful people. And the supports all this bear, but either Jewish scholarship, even secular historians who have been flummoxed by the idea Israelites and Jews are the same people. That has been brainwashed into them so that they never even question it, nor do they dare question it in the presence of our don't even dare question it, because these secular academics stand to lose their job to question it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're spot on. And what's incredible to me, one thing that I've always been sort of frustrated with is this lack of interest in the broader alt-right, I guess, or pro-white movement, to actually seriously deal with these perspectives, with the Christian identity perspective.
Yes.
Because to me, and this is sort of why I really never considered myself involved with the alt-right. I've kind of just stuck to my own thing. I really just kind of view myself as like an independent journalist, just covering these issues, obviously from a very pro-white perspective.
Right.
But it just is dumbfounding that this could be so controversial when, if you really sit down and get into it and entertain these ideas, there's a lot of evidence to back it up. It makes a lot of sense. And it's ultimately, in my view, the final truth to come to when you're researching these topics.
Amen. Amen. In terms of arguing our position to the alt, need to hear this. In the entire Old Testament, the Israelites are commanded over and over again not to intermarry outside of the tribes, and certainly outside of the, which is the Adamic race, okay? They're instructed over and over and over. But there were intermarriages between the Japheth, were also sons of Noah, and the Hamites, who were also sons of Noah, just as Shem was. Intermarry within the outside of that race. And the documentation, especially Israelites, to not intermarry with Canaanites, with these Eves of Edom, etc., etc. When the broke up, the 12 tribe kingdom broke up in houses, the house of Judah being Benjamin and the northern house of Samaria, the other 10 tribes, we're told very clearly in Ezra and Nehemiah, for the breakup was the fact that himself had taken non-white wives, he had married Edomites and others, them into his harem. And Yahweh tells us very specifically is the reason why the kingdom broken up and the 10 northern tribes, because they had begun creating their bloodline rounding Canaanites, which he had told our ancestors to exterminate and Canaanites. We failed to do so. And in Numbers 33:44, it states, because you have failed to do this job that I, they will be pricks and thorns in your side until judgment day. Okay? Now, if nobody outside of identity reads these passages. So understand why white nationalists and all, assume, because nobody has ever read passages. And so since Yahweh demands that we remain racially pure, the we have to question, well, when, if ever, was it permitted to racially mix? And never. The intertestamental period, which we cover extensively on our here at Eurofolk Radio with Josephus and the Apocrypha, all retain the commands not to enter outside of our race. So, is it possible that nobody knows this, or very, very few? It's because you have all these imposters pretending to represent Christianity, pretending to represent the Bible, pretending that Judaism is the same as the Testament, and all these propositions are false. This wave of propaganda for 2,000 years, and now here comes Christian for the last, let's say 100, denying all of these popularly believed falsehoods. So it's a really difficult uphill battle to unbrainwash people who've been brainwashed for 2,000 years. Expect them to convert over. But the Bible also says that there will not. It says Yahweh's. So a steady trickle. Until the second coming, when we won't really, the white race won't really need all this intense knowledge. It's like Yahshua, that Jesus back with the cavalry of avenging angels that are going to destroy our enemies. We'll take part in it because we are his. But for right now, since we're East, which is international Judaism, cartels and political power that they have, which is overwhelming, as you said at the very they're kid on the block, on the planet, and we can't fight them only fight them spiritually, and that's what we're doing right now.
Yes, yeah, I agree. And, you know, that's the thing, we're really at a point now where, you know, when I was, again, going back to when I kind of first got involved in all this stuff, you hear these ideas about the New World Order and, you know, global government and all these other concepts. And the more I kind of got an understanding and did some research on my own, it we're really already there. I mean, this idea of a New World Order is, in my view, from where I'm sitting, fully in place at this point. I mean, America is not a sovereign nation anymore. Yes. We're certainly not a nation itself. I mean, America is not even a nation. It is basically a Jewish-administered communist empire that is, you know, basically oppressing everybody, oppressing the entire world. Our military is essentially a private army of international Jewry. And that's certainly how our foreign policy is carried out, especially in the Middle East. So these things, it's all pretty much locked up the more you kind of understand what's going on. And I know that might sound, you know, depressing, like, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. But just knowing that and knowing where we're at in history, I think is very powerful and uplifting. Knowing that we are certainly, I would argue, we're in these sort of end times. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, Paul predicts there will be a time where nations, although it's falsely translated as Gentiles, in their Bibles. So translators such as R. Fenton used the term race instead of, because Gentile is a that has been superimposed upon the scriptures by the translators, does not belong in the Bible. And for a lot of Christians don't even know that the word Gentile actually at one point meant, in addition to non-Jew as A, but Christian as well, okay? But as the Jews are excellent, Christians have ceased using the term to mean non-Christian and simply accept the Jewish term for non-Jew. So when Paul predicts that an end of nation, Gentiles, it is describing exactly what you're doing right now. We don't have any more nations because in order to have a nation, you have to have a border.
Which we most certainly do not have. None of the Western European nations, former nations, have borders anymore. It's basically only applying to former Western nations, right? This idea, this push and this demand for open borders and massive third world immigration, this is really directed almost exclusively and specifically at former white Western Christian nations. There's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt. And I was looking that I was talking about. It's Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren. Brethren comes from the Greek phos, and it's very important to understand of the word Adelphos, it says from whom a brother, literally or near or remote, much like from the same womb, is what the word Adelphos actually means. From this same means that whenever the apostles, disciples, or any of our writers in the New Testament use that word, referring to their blood bloodlines. Okay, now what being referred to? Well, we go back to Abraham and Sarah. We are instructed to look back to Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and his four wives, etc., so that the Israelites descend from basically six wombs. Okay, these six women are the progenitor, the Israelite people, and you and I are their descendants, and no other people in the world can make this claim, certainly not the Jews. Okay, and so we, our Israelite blood, Jews hate with a passion, exterminate. Interestingly, Martin's on Voice of Christian Israel earlier today, in our pre-show discussion, said that he is very distrustful of the so-called Ahars, who he considers to be mixed-race Edomites who have blended with other whites, and the Boer people under Israelites of the Bible, just as we in identity do here in America. They call it vision, what we call Christian identity here. And they have always had the tradition that they are descended from several of the 12 tribes. Okay. So he approached one of these slash half-breed Edomites who was a head of a political organization. There was a woman in this case, a Jewish woman who identified herself as Jewish, who speaks for Connors. And he asked her, well, if I join your group, what will you do about the genocide of the Boer people? Her response was, so you can see the disingenuous of the opposition that we have. It's
yes, no doubt. Well, Eli, I wanted to talk.
So
yeah,
if you
go ahead. Sorry,
yeah,
no.
So we're confronted with a wall of silence and a wall of believable, and that's why we're here at Eurofolk Radio to penetrate what I call the deceit, the Jewish matrix of deceit, which most of us are born into. As a Catholic, and I think you said you were a Catholic, but I had one advantage over white people. My mom hated Jews. She understood Jews like nobody else I've ever met. Back in Austria-Hungary shop, and she had the local Jewish wholesaler, okay? That they were very hard people to deal with, and because of that, she hardened herself and would bargain with them very, and would always out-bargain them so that she was the price of any shopkeeper because she knew she would go there the day when most of the other purchasers. Goods, like be it farm or meat or something like that, because the Jews are always wholesalers in these areas. She would wait till the end of the day, knowing the very few customers, and she would bid far lower than anybody else. And if they didn't accept her price, she would turn around, walk away, and wait, you got a deal.
Good for her.
So
good
she would, her. Okay, she outsmarted him. And she would never use the word Jew without using the word stinking in front of it, because they literally, I don't know if you saw the post, I forget what airline, it is, American Airlines, a group of kicked off the airplane because the rest of the passengers were complaining that this cruise stank so badly that they had to be kicked off the flight. This group of Jews then accused the airline of anti-Semitism.
Okay? Of course, so, of course, right. It's right? always anti-Semitism, okay, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I, yeah, so I saw the story.
This is where we're at with Jews. We know, we in Identity know who and what they are, yeah, but very few people do.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true, and it's something that, you know, it's got to be, like, the most controversial topic out there. You know, when you're talking to just, you know, random people, like, the Jewish question is so controversial. And, of course, there's a number of topics related to it. It's related directly to race. Anytime you're talking about Jews, that's of right. course, Hitler comes up, the Holocaust comes up. And we've only got about 15 more minutes left, and I definitely wanted to talk a little bit about this, because today, January 27th, 2019, today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Oh, and my goodness. Oh.
Yes. Today is the official day. And I put a tweet out earlier today. I said, on hashtag Holocaust Remembrance Day, let's remember that this is the only event in history we are not allowed to question or critically investigate. Why is that? Because it's the linchpin of the entire anti-white New World Order globalist agenda. And I've been making this argument for a very long time. There's a number of, you know, related, topics that relate directly to this. We could probably argue that this idea that Jews are Israel, the Israel of the Bible and God's chosen people, this is also like a foundational lie that our paradigm, yes, or our understanding of the world is based on. But I do think that the Holocaust plays a central role. It's been used to advance Jewish interests and to unite the Jewish community. And there's even public opinion polls that demonstrate this. You know, Jews are polled, what makes you a Jew? When you think about your Jewish identity, what is most important to you? And consistently, Jews will say the memory of the Holocaust and the commemoration of it. And this, you know, this broader idea that Jews are, wherever they go, irrationally persecuted by the goyim, and they're hated for no reason. You know, they're just the scapegoated victim that has never done anything wrong, when in reality, we both know that it's the total opposite. It is the Jews that have been undermining and subverting and corrupting our societies. And they've been doing it for a very long time, to where now we're at a point where they basically dominate. They basically run the show. And I think the fake Holocaust narrative plays a central role in all of this. As I mentioned, it really is like the basis of Jewish identity. It really unites the Jewish community. And it's also used to delegitimize the very concept of white identity, because it's immediately tied into Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, and, you know, the persecution and the murder of all these Jews, which again is a totally fake and false narrative. So I wanted to get your take. What do you have to say about International Holocaust Remembrance Day?
Well, it's something people, just as the Martin Luther Luton killing day, that we just, it was January 16th. So 11 days afterwards is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. In other words, all of narratives that cannot be interesting, however, in the case of Martin Luther King, I believe the sealed records of his life sealed in the year 2024, so that his communist connections, the who guided his career, this will be revealed when the comes out. Pretty much like the Kennedy assassination. A lot of good information coming out. People have been making videos, missions. We know it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't think there's anybody on the planet who still believes. Okay. The question is, who did it? Okay. Again, we in Identity point a finger at the Jews, particularly the Federal Reserve, which President Kennedy issued certificates, which would have been direct competition for the Federal Reserve note, you know, which is the Jewish funny money. And there the Jews could allow that to happen, it would put them out of business. This was a behind-the-scenes plan by President Kennedy, basically attack Reserve Bank. So there's no way, and of course, that's by Jews, it always has been. In addition, the Eisenhower administration had been involved in Vietnam. Eisenhower, Mr. Dulles, Allen was CIA at the time, and John Foster Dulles was his Secretary of State, were already cooking up the, which is a false to the pretense of fighting against racism, whereas what it's actually doing created the Cultural Revolution here, gave the pretext for the Cultural Revolution, communize and socialize and by our young people, their parents and uncles and aunts, etc., of this this revolting scene, young people being utterly brainwashed in the colleges. They cannot question the Holocaust, question Martin Luther King Day, cannot question anything that the Jews is sacred. Okay? But we know it's not, it's Satanism. Can't shut us up because bring around them, even if our PayPal account more recently than yours, okay? Nevertheless, our message out, and but they have to do a direct attack. Do is they destroy Judeo and an attempt to silence us, okay, and make us. But we're not going to be silent. They're going to have to get rid of us, as they Gordon Kahl, whom they murdered because he was preaching identity and the IRS as a con game. Okay, that the Eighth Amendment was never passed by the but Woodrow Wilson signed it into law, and despite that fact, okay, so technically there is no income tax, and we shouldn't have. And plus, our founding fathers said we the only kind of tax we had before the federal bank was excise taxes. So yeah, we're right on all these issues. This is why the Federal Reserve and the Jewish do not want to directly attack us, because they don't give us the chance these issues, which they are afraid to do in public. And this is even the Charlottesville had to be absolutely supported by the Jews, because some identity people there. In fact, I had a death which held me back from going there. I would have was, you know, if, but somebody maced me in the face before I had a chance to know that the Jews are terrified of our narrative and must do everything in their power to silence us.
Yes, and that is, this is a topic I've been covering pretty extensively for American Free Press for the past few years. If you go over to therealistreport.com, I recently published an article that was originally published by the paper, the title, Big Tech Companies Continue to Target Political Dissidents. And this is just a reoccurring topic.
Right?
Like, every week, it seems like,
and it's only
somebody... Yeah, somebody's been either shut down on YouTube or shut down on Patreon, for example, or whatever. You know, it goes on and on and on. I'm sure people listening are very familiar with this topic. It's a reoccurring theme. It's something that is going to continue, you know, to follow us into 2019, obviously. And see, this is I know we only got a few minutes left here, but I wanted to kind of wrap up with this. Donald Trump, one of the things that I've noticed the past couple years is really his just inability to actually get anything done. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. He's working against basically the entire political establishment. Most of the media is against him, obviously, right. Very blatantly so. But he really hasn't been able to get a whole lot done. Despite that, and despite the fact that he is a staunch Zionist and a major supporter of the Jewish state of Israel, he has tons of Jewish connections. I mean, many of the key individuals working in his administration are themselves Jewish. His daughter Ivanka is married to Jared Kushner, of course, everybody knows that. So he has all these Jewish connections. He's a staunch Zionist. And yet the Jews are still so terrified by Donald Trump. I'm looking at a headline here over at the Jewish Daily Forward, and it was an opinion piece published by Bernard, what's the guy's name? Bernard Harvey, I think is his last name. He's a French Jewish intellectual. This very overrated guy. He's, you know, always being promoted by the establishment. He's going around, he's getting ready to give a speech in New York talking about how Donald Trump is a huge threat to the Jewish community. And it's largely, the main argument they've always made is that he's opened up the political discourse for ideas like ours to gain traction to flourish. And that's really what they're so terrified of, so afraid of, is losing their stranglehold on the narrative.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and there's always been an undercurrent wing protest at the establishment. The interesting thing here amazes me how few leftists actually perceive this, that all these organizations that are censoring us on the right, capitalist media corporations. Not only that, like Gillette has adopted the left-wing narrative as well. Why are these big shot capitalist corporations promoting the left narrative? What's up with this? Why is this? That's because Jews invented communism, the Jews finance capitalism, and those two groups are controlled. And that's why you have the corporations supporting the ultra far left with their. That's why, folks. Because both sides are run by Jews. We're the penetrating this charade. That's why they fear us.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, they really have been able to control both sides of the debate. There, you know, this idea that the Democrats and Republicans are these, you know, ideological enemies. It's so absurd. So absurd. Yeah, they basically agree on the overall anti-white New World Order agenda promoted by international Jewry, of course. They're all staunch supporters of Israel. Most of them support the disastrous wars in the Middle East and pretty much every other Jewish agenda. So it's really this false opposition. And, you know, they view Trump as this sort of renegade political actor, which he may or may not be. I really don't know. I mean, the guy's been incredibly disappointing, in my opinion. He just cannot get anything done. He just caved on the government shutdown. So it's really kind of a disaster right now. But their biggest fear is they're losing control of the narrative.
He's delivering on small promises. But he hasn't delivered on any major promises, you know, that until I see Hillary behind bars or arrested, I can't take Trump seriously.
Oh, but, yeah, I agree.
It's the Rothschild method and the Jewish method to divide and conquer. So they can use Trump for that, ultimately to declare martial law. They haven't gotten rid of the Second Amendment, so they have how they proceed. You know, we have guns, unlike the Russians in 1917. Didn't have any guns. We do. And we know how to shoot. And if they send their shock troops out too soon and those shock troops get return fire, then their military takeover will fail. Over to you.
Right. Yeah, no, thank you. We're pretty much out of time. Again, this was the first live program Eli, I want to thank you very much for joining me here. I'm really hoping that we sounded okay and you know, we'll be able to hear the podcast and hear both you and me. You were very, very choppy and distorted throughout this conversation. So I guess we'll just have to see how the podcast turned out. But I am excited to join the network. I'm excited to start doing a regular podcast. You know, I got some good guests lined up in the coming weeks. And I want to thank you again, Eli, for joining me. We'll have to, you know, definitely do this again. I appreciate it. It's always nice talking to you and getting your ideas out there.
Yes, likewise.
Okay, welcome aboard, John.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will talk to you next week.